Welcome to the final week of our series called Living Stones. Scripture says each of us is like a living stone. We are rock solid in faith and alive for God. And together we are being built up into a spiritual house for the Lord. The kind of house we are building is one full of love and compassion, a house that is open and welcoming, where every person plays a unique and important role because he or she has been appointed by God for greatness. This is a house that's worth taking risks for and a house that will last forever, as we said last week. Now, today, in the final episode of the series, I want to talk with you about building the right kind of house. Scripture says Jesus is a king. In fact, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His reign extends over all things. Today, around the world, we celebrate him as King of the universe. His reign extends over all things, and one day, he will put every enemy under his feet. But every king needs a castle. It's where he and his family live and where many people in the government worked. And every castle in the Middle Ages that I've ever seen has strong stones to protect people inside from enemy invasions. In the same way, the spiritual house we are building for the Lord, Christ the King, also provides protection. His castle protects us from the enemy, but only if it's the right kind of house, the right kind of castle for Christ, the right kind of kingdom. In the gospel passage for today, Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus had been arrested by the chief priests and the elders, the other religious leaders of his day, and handed over to the Roman governor for execution, something those religious leaders cannot do on their own. Pilate's question was an important one. For the Romans who occupied the land at that time, any threat, real or perceived, any threat to their authority would be met with overwhelming violence. The Roman Empire was an advanced and sophisticated civilization, but it was also one that had been built on military power. The strength of the Roman army was renowned around the world. There have been so many kingdoms like that in human history, kingdoms and empires forged on terror, violence, domination, and conquest, kingdoms rooted in hatred and exclusion, kingdoms based on manipulation and fear. It reminds me of that famous Winchester Mystery House in San Jose, California. Maybe you've been there or perhaps heard about it. It's a fascinating story and a fascinating house. The house was built by Sarah Winchester. She was the widow of the man you might say was the king of firearms. And the house is built like an enormous castle. It has 47 fireplaces, 6 kitchens, 467 doorways, among other things. There are chimneys that do not reach the ceiling, hallways that go nowhere, doors that open to nothing, and stairs that lead to no place in particular. According to popular legend, Sarah built the house that way in order to confuse and trap the spirits and ghosts of people killed by Winchester rifles. She was afraid that those spirits would haunt her, so she fabricated this huge house out of fear. Many kingdoms are based on fear. Many kingdoms are based on fear. But the absolute worst kind of kingdom is the one being built every day by the father of lies, the enemy of God's kingdom, who would like nothing better than to send you down rabbit holes that lead nowhere, that distract you from your purpose, that keep you running scared so you will invest your time and energy in things that are not good for you, in constructing houses that do not honor God. It's easy to get caught up in all kinds of things that do not matter, that waste our time, that pull us off course, and that take us to places we shouldn't go. For example, a few years ago, I watched a documentary about social media. Many of the people who built that empire are now sounding the alarm on the dangerous impact it can have. The film exposed how social media platforms manipulate us and have even created a new kind of addiction. There are all kinds of things like this that can sidetrack us from our purpose and what we need to be doing for God. Things like watching too much television, playing too many video games, playing politics at work, you know, trying to get ahead, manipulate things, spend your time getting power and prestige, or spending all your time pursuing pleasure to excess. All these things can keep us from building the spiritual house God wants us to build, from constructing the strong castle for Christ the King. When he answered Pilate's question, Jesus revealed the true nature of his kingdom. He said, "My kingdom does not belong to this world." That means his kingdom is not built on a foundation of force, violence, fear, tyranny, or oppression. He went on to say, "If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over. But as it is, my kingdom is not here." He was saying that those who belong to his kingdom will not solve their problems by fighting. The conflicts, battles, and aggressions that mark many human kingdoms will not exist in the kingdom of Christ that is based on love, justice, and peace. And then at the very end of the passage, he says that his kingdom is also founded on truth, not lies and deceit like so many other kingdoms. Here's the overall point Jesus was making. Unlike many earthly kingdoms, that are rooted in personal gain, selfishness, a thirst for power, all these things that inevitably lead to death, the kingdom of Christ would be a kingdom of life, a kingdom that would ultimately conquer even death itself, a kingdom that for everyone who seeks it will give life, and life more abundantly. This is the kingdom of Christ. This is the kingdom we are building here every day at St. Hilary. This is the spiritual house, the strong castle for Christ that we are constructing. And every Sunday, there are so many people that come seeking this kingdom. People who are more and more being switched on to greater life in Christ. For this Stewardship Sunday, we have prepared a beautiful video for you about all the wonderful things that we are doing here in constructing this strong castle for Christ. Take a look.
Our vision at St. Hilary Church for the long term is to continue to grow as a community where everyone loves to belong. I'm deeply moved by how much of an impact this faith community has made in Tiburon. It's been here for so long.
I've been to the old church several times, and when I'm there, I envision, you know, the church crowded after the war and these young families standing room only, and the church elders realizing we got to have another church. This church is too small. It holds like 120 people.
In the beginning, St. Hilary's was a mission of St. Raphael's in San Rafael, and on Sundays, the priest would have to come, stopping at San Quentin, and then getting here and trudging up the hill. And at that time, there was no plumbing, electricity, or water. So the water was carried up the hill to put into the holy water font.
I recognize what the people who went before have done to create what we have now. And I just want to do my part and get it ready for my daughter's generation.
I believe so wholeheartedly in driving our mission forward, our mission to make Jesus Christ matter to everyone. And I feel like there's no more important group to minister to than children. They're our next generation. They're the future of our world. And it's a tough world out there, and they need that foothold of Jesus in their lives. And I want them to know him.
when you take the time and energy to engage in both what has happened at the school and the church, you have a full package.
And that's our goal, both as a church and a school, is to say to these children, come forth into everything that God created you to be. One of the biggest changes we made was our children's program on Sunday mornings. And that has really fundamentally transformed our 9 a.m. Sunday morning mass.
Having the children be able to go out and have their own experience with Jesus and the Word of God is powerful for them. But at the same time, the parents are able to connect and be present. And I think that it's really brought families closer together, and it's brought more families into church.
And my favorite moment of every Sunday is at the end of the 9 a.m. Mass when I process out of the church, and all those kids who have been to Jesus Jam, they line up along the edge of the pew to give me high fives on the way out. I didn't come up with that. They wanted to do it, and now it's part of their day, and it's my favorite moment of the day as well. My faith has really grown here at St. Hilary, and part of it is what we do, our small groups. I'm part of a small group. The preaching style that I've adopted, it helps me to grow more familiar with the scripture and closer to God in that way. But to be honest, it's really the people. When I hear their confessions, when I talk to them one-on-one, when I meet them after Mass, or just have even short conversations, the depth of their faith and the excitement that they have from God, it just moves my heart.
I've been almost a cradle Catholic and had just been going through the motions, didn't really pay more attention to the rest of life, paying attention to the kids, paying attention to everything else, just kind of doing it, and came to St. Hilary and it just clicked. It clicked deeper.
I have become much more comfortable praying with people. My faith has grown to such a level and a depth here that I feel comfortable taking your hand and saying, why don't we pray about that together now?
If you can have your heart open, that door cracked open to Jesus, and bring him in, bring his teachings in, bring his way of life in, that's the why. And that's why I keep coming back, because that's the main attraction in any Catholic church and Christianity. It's Jesus.
I would tell you that 2016 was so cataclysmic for me to lose my husband and my father within 2 weeks of each other. And were it not for my faith, I can't honestly tell you how I would have dealt with the grief and the stress and the whole turning the page. It was 100% because I held on to prayer. I held on to the belief that if you let go and let God, that's where holding on to my faith is just absolutely the rock that I stand on.
When I was younger, I didn't understand what Jesus did for us, what God has done and has blessed us with. And now that I'm older and I've seen a lot of stuff here as a minister, I understand what it's like to be a Catholic, to know what Jesus did for us. He died for our sins. He saved us. And coming here just feels like I've found my home at church.
I want to create a church environment where everyone loves to belong. Families will come here. They'll feel comfortable, welcomed, like it's a second home. Jesus will matter to them. We're doing that in so many ways with small groups and our ministries, our Sunday morning hospitality, our weekend experience, which is uplifting, and they're excited to be here. And they can't wait for Sunday morning, just like me.
Today is Stewardship Sunday. As I said, it is a day to celebrate all we have accomplished together. Hundreds of people in small groups growing in the life of faith. Nearly 1,000 people tuning in and experiencing on the ground our life-giving masses on the weekends. Hundreds more people in our ministries and missions helping other people grow and have a better life. But it's really not about the numbers. It's about hearts coming alive. It's about more and more people coming here and coming together to build this spiritual house and this strong castle for Christ, our King. And all these people, you, many of you who make an investment in this parish, who sacrifice your time, offer your talent, and give the first and best part back of your financial blessings to God, who has given you everything. And so today is my opportunity to thank you for those gifts. We could not do any of this without your generous participation. Ministry is not about money, of course, but money makes ministry possible. And so I do ask you, if you've not had an opportunity to complete what we call a faith commitment card, it's basically a promise to honor God with your finances in the coming year. I would ask you to take a moment after this homily to do that. We'll give you a few moments. The cards are in your pews. And also for those of you online, our online congregation, you are a part of this family. And you can find that electronic version of the faith commitment card on our website, sthillary.org, right on the home page. We know that when you give, you will grow in faith. Because God is the greatest giver ever. You can't outgive God. And he gave us everything, including his own son. And so when you honor God with your finances, when you grow in generosity, you become more like him. And you grow in faith. Every day when I wake up, I do the same thing. First thing I do is I open the sliding glass door in my bedroom and let some fresh air in. You probably do the same thing. But almost immediately, I start hearing all the hammering, sawing, drilling, and pounding that construction workers are doing. It seems that our neighbors are constantly renovating their homes. Maybe it's true for you too. But the truth is, the spiritual house we are building here, the strong castle for Christ the King we are constructing, is always and will be always under construction, adding more rooms, more levels, more additions, more living stones on top of the foundation. But unlike the Winchester Mystery Home, every room, every space, every place in this house leads to greater life in Christ, both now and in the life to come. And that means that whatever house you choose to build in this world will have eternal significance in the next. Thank you for all you do.